morning, we pray that you would be glorified in everything we do and say. Lord, help us to pay particular attention to Pastor as he preaches your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. We bless him.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Let's take our Bibles today and turn to the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John. John chapter 21. Let me mention a word of thanks to all who participated in Jessalee's fundraising for her mom to help with some of the medical expenses. I think $400 came in through your generosity, and that's a blessing. And then a couple hundred was given Wednesday night to help a family in need in a situation that we announced on the spur of the moment there. So thank you for that. And also I should mention that Dan and Vicki are getting ready to move for a month. Vicky's going to be a month in Cambodia. Danny will be there for like 3 weeks. And their whole purpose of going is for them to site out some land and find some property to purchase so that they can prepare for 3 years down the road when they'll be moving to Cambodia to do missionary work. And that's exciting. Amen. They were going to give a testimony. I think they're under the weather this morning, so they're not able to be here. But you pray for them. And we'll be giving you updates as we hear back from them. But they'll be leaving on January 5th, so they won't be here next Sunday. But pray for the Fagans as they go back to Cambodia. Well, actually back for Vicky, because that's where she was raised, of course. And her and Danny have been praying about this for some time, and I know many have been giving toward their mission work as they plan to go. John 21. In your notes, you'll notice on the back there that Peter had a recent failure in the context here of John 21 that caused him a lot of pain. And we know about his denial, that failure that he had, and his future was unsure. But Jesus, resurrected now from the dead, shows up and challenges him concerning his future, and he releases him concerning the past. And Peter was able to dream again. So I want us to look at this passage as we think about the approach of 2011. Follow with me in your Bibles. Let's all stand together again, would you please? In John chapter 21. And I'll read several verses here, so follow along with me in John 21, beginning at verse number 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. And Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore, resurrected from the dead now. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered, no. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it's the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, that is, he only had his undergarments on. He did cast himself into the sea, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but it was, as it were, 200 cubits, about 300 feet or football field length, dragging that with the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153, and for all that were there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. And he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd use these words, this passage of this wonderful restoration of Peter and this incident, to encourage every heart here and to challenge and motivate us for the new year that lies ahead. Fit us for obedient service to you. Fill us with hope, anticipation, and a stronger desire than ever to love you back and to serve you with hearts that are right in your sight. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. You know the story. You've read it before, I'm sure, most everyone here. But I would particularly remind you of verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Jesus expects first place in Peter's life, and he expects first place in your life. So what should we do as we approach 2011? I think first and foremost, we should make it a time of forgetting. Make it a time of forgetting the past that might chain us, that might hinder us, that might obstruct our doing the will of God. Peter needed to be released from his failure. You remember the failure in Matthew 26 when three times he was asked about his allegiance and knowledge of Jesus Christ as Jesus had been taken in before the Sanhedrin. And finally, when they didn't believe that he wasn't a follower of Jesus because of his accent being from the north, from Galilee, and that being so obvious to the people, he began to curse and swear and said, I know not the man. And immediately, as Jesus had predicted, the cock crew, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which he said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and he wept bitterly. Peter's failure called his love for Jesus into question. And that needed to be reaffirmed. Jesus knew that. Also, Peter needed to forget about going back to what he had done before he met Jesus. In verse 3 we just read, he told the rest of the disciples, I go fishing. And they said, well, we're going with you. He'd backslidden. Jesus had told him, I want you to follow me. And now he's going back to his previous career. I like what F.B. Mayer said. He said, it's a mistake to be always turning back to recover the past. The law for Christian living is not backward but forward. Not for experiences that lie behind, but for doing the will of God, which is always ahead and beckoning us to follow. Leave the things that are behind and reach forward to those that are before. For on each new height to which we attain, there are the appropriate joys that befit the new experience. Don't be fretting because of life's joys that are fled. There are more in front. Look up. Press forward. The best is yet to be. Good words. John Wooden said, failure is not fatal, but failure to change might be. Failure to change might be. Jesus came so that you don't have to wallow in past failures. What is it you need to regret? Forget that you do regret that keeps holding you back. What do you need to put behind you? I hope you'll do that today. Was it something you did, something you failed to do? Forget the grudges. Forget the hurts that people have inflicted against you. Forget the unkind words. As you approach the new year, let's forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before. Amen? Let's put them behind us. Let's have a fresh start in the grace of God. And secondly, make it a time of remembering. You say, well, you want me to forget? You want me to remember? Which do you want? Well, remembering in a different way. Peter needed to remember what Jesus had said to him before all this happened. If you'd flip back, I think it's in your notes even, Luke 22, 31 and 32. He needed to remember what Jesus had said in Luke 22, 31. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You say, I thought Peter was a believer. He was, but he still needed to be converted from his backsliding. And there are times we need to be converted from our backsliding. He said, Satan has desired to have you to get the good out, but I'm going to use the trials of your life to keep the good in. I'm going to use the trials of your life to improve your ability to trust me instead of trusting in yourself. That's what Jesus always does. Jesus had seen through Peter's failure to Peter's restoration, and now Peter needed to remember the good words of the Lord. And Jesus sees through your failures to your restoration. And he knows you're not through. He can still use you. In fact, he'll use you even more after the failures and the heartaches and the disappointments. If you'll learn from sin, if you'll learn from failures and your inactivity and move forward in the will of the Lord. Learn from the recorded failings of others as well. You don't have to fail in all the ways that others have failed too. You don't have enough time to fail in every way. In other words, the Bible is written so that you don't have to fail in the ways the Bible characters have failed. You can learn from them, and you can say, I'm not going to do that because I see that in the Scriptures. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to follow the Lord and His will. If you'll flip back to Psalm 106, one of the things we can avoid as we face the new year is avoid forgetting the blessings of God that He's given to us already. Avoid the tendency to murmur when things don't go like we'd like them to go now or in the future. And Psalm 106 is a good reminder as it looks at the children of Israel in their past grumblings and complainings before the Lord. And God got kind of disappointed, fed up with them, I guess you might say. Psalm 106, verse 21, if you'll flip over there in your Bible. Psalm 106 and verse 21, commenting on the children of Israel's attitude problems, it says, they forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous things in the land of Ham and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but notice what they did. They went back home, and they murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Let's avoid forgetting the good things that God's done for us, and let's remember them, and let's avoid murmuring in our tents. Let's not go back home and complain. Let's encourage one another in the Lord. We need to do that constantly, don't we? Psalm 27, flip back over there, and notice verse 13. The psalmist said in Psalm 27 and verse 13, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Read the next verse out loud, would you? Verse 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be still and spend time daily before the Lord. Spend time daily reading your Bible, drawing near to God, approaching the new day with determination to follow him. Wait on the Lord. He'll strengthen your heart. Wait, said David, I say, on the Lord. So make it a time of forgetting past failures. Make it a time of remembering life lessons and God's promises. And then as we approach the new year, make it a time of dreaming. Let's dream. We're created in the image of God. I think God did a lot of creative thinking. We need to do the same. Follow him in our dreaming. At the fireside in the presence of Jesus, back in our text, Peter's dream was reawakened. Remember what happened on the day of Pentecost, just a month or so later? He preached and the people were gathered there for the great feast, and it was a tremendous opportunity, and 3,000 were saved and baptized. Jesus said, Peter, if you love me more than your career, invest in my ministry of fishing for men and teaching them how to follow me as well. And Peter said, I do love you, Lord. I do love you. So this morning, Jesus says to each of you, do you really love me? Well, then live like heaven in 2011. You really love me? Then invest in my ministry. Invest in my will. Do my will by the grace of God every day. Allow the Spirit of God to reawaken your dreams, godly dreams, dreams of living a life that pleases God well in 2011. And then combine your dreams with diligent activity. Make some changes. Just a little change at the beginning of the year can make a whole big difference as you go on in that year. It can make a big difference. The Bible says in Proverbs 21, the desire of the slothful kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. The dreams of lazy men are nightmares, not predictions. But if you dream and do, the dreams will come to fruition. We reap what we sow. Can't expect a crop if you don't sow some seed. You can't expect good things if you don't do good things and make the changes that God would prompt you to make in your life. The dreams of the diligent lead to sowing, and the sleep of the laboring man is sweet. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it's abomination to fools to depart from evil. Don't be a fool. Depart from evil and do good. Recover the constructive use of your influence. Remember John 21 and verse 3, I go fishing. And the other disciples said, yeah, we're going to do that too. We're coming with you. They were all called to full-time ministry. Peter said, I'm going fishing. Forget this. And they said, yeah, we're going to go fishing too. We're going to do the same thing. You know, we have influence. All of you have influence. Let's use it for the encouragement of others. Let's use it to the edification of others. Everybody here needs encouragement. Amen? Everybody here needs a husband that encourages us, if you're a wife. Every husband needs a wife that encourages him. We need parents that encourage children and children that encourage parents and grandparents that do the same. All of us have influence. Let's use it for good, for the glory of the Lord. Inaction breeds doubt and fear, said Dale Carnegie. Action breeds confidence and courage. If you want to conquer fear, don't sit home and think about it. Go out and get busy. I like that. Someone else said, success is almost totally dependent upon drive and persistence. The extra energy required to make another effort or try another approach is the secret of winning. You've got to get up early every morning with determination if you're going to go to bed with satisfaction. Abraham Lincoln said, I'll prepare and someday my chance will come. Napoleon Hill said, a goal is a dream with a deadline. A goal is a dream with a deadline. Good words. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, if you look with me there at Peter's words later on, after he'd learned a few things, after he'd seen God bless him when he forgot and when he remembered, when he started dreaming again, he said some things here in 1 and 2 Peter that are greatly encouraging for all of us as we face the new year. But 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10, 11, and 12 is a key place, I think. Verse 10, he said, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. We shouldn't speak evil. We shouldn't criticize. We shouldn't downgrade other people. We shouldn't curse and swear. We shouldn't even use epithets that are wicked. The Bible says that we should let our conversation be always with grace, seasoned with salt. He that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it, pursue it with diligence. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. He's watching over us to bless us, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. What a key passage. The winners in life think constantly in terms of I can, I will, I am. Losers, on the other hand, concentrate their waking thoughts on what they should have or would have done or what they can't do. So said Dennis Waitley. The capacity to dream is part of the image of God in you. What dreams will God give us and bring to pass in this coming year? What dreams should you embrace? I hope you'll spend some time this afternoon, since we're not going to have church tonight. We're going to have a blizzard. I hope you'll spend some time this afternoon. Do a little dreaming. Do a little thinking. Do a little planning. Set some goals with some dates at the end. Let God speak to your heart. He wants to bless you. Amen? He's looking at people and seeing who he can bless and who's willing and whose hearts are right with him. And we need to remember that. The capacity to dream is part of the image of God. Dreams that spring from an obedient heart will not lack God's blessing. Back in our text in verse number 5 in John 21, Jesus said to them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John who's writing it and is always humble about himself, said to Peter, it's the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. He was listening. Be still so you can hear, or open your ears. Be still and know that I'm God. I'll be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still so that you can hear. You know, we can't even go for a moment without an iPod in our ears, a radio blaring, or conversation going, or a TV on. We've got to always, we should be still once in a while and listen to the Lord. In this busy world, we have to learn to listen for the voice of God. As God shares his heart with us, we get to know him better and better. Get a grip on God's communication. This is how God communicates. This is the Word of God. When you read this, it's like God speaking to you. Because it's God's Word, and God is speaking to you. This is the book of God. Amen? It's by inspiration of God given to us. Get a grip on it. Hear it. Read it. Study it. Memorize it. And meditate on it. Then you get a good grip on it. You hold it with one finger or two. You just listen to preaching or teaching. You're not going to have the handle that you would if you went on to study it. If you went on to memorize it and then meditate on it. And get a better handle on it. So be still so you can hear. Spend time every day with the Lord. Be alert so you can see or open your eyes. John 5:19, the Son of Man said Jesus can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Where's God working? Be observant. Watch and see what God's doing, and when you see him working, go join him. Do what God's impressing you is what he's interested in at that time, or in that life, or that individual, or that situation. Jesus said in John 8:29, he that sent me is with me. The Father's not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Jesus only did what he saw the Father do. We'll miss an opportunity to join God in what he's doing if we're not alert. So be alert so you can see. Also, we should be alert of Satan's working, his schemes against us. Being alert enables us to recognize the needs that other people have in their lives as well. One more thing, be humble so you can learn. Be humble so you can learn. Open your heart. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. That's 1 Peter 5:5-7. David and Gideon were prominent members are prominent examples of humility. When the Lord came to Gideon and said, "Hail, thou mighty man of valor," Gideon said, "Who are you talking about, Lord?" He said, "I'm the least in my father's house, and we're the least tribe. I mean, we're just, who am I?" He said, "Well, this is what you're going to go and conquer in. I'll be with you. That's what you need." Amen? If God's with you, you're strong. You're mighty in spirit with the presence of the Lord. If you look at Judges chapter 6, you'll find that story. And then David was a humble man who didn't think a whole lot of himself. 1 Chronicles 29:14, he said, "Who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." When we give anything to the Lord, when we give a good offering to the Lord, when we're enabled to give a good sum of money or some type of service to the Lord, it all comes from God. Amen? He gives us the power to get wealth, as Deuteronomy 8 says, and David understood that. So be humble so you can learn. Brian Tracy said, "You can't control what happens to you, but you can control your attitude toward what happens to you. And in that, you'll be mastering change rather than allowing it to master you." It's your attitude, not your aptitude, that'll determine your altitude. So said Zig Ziglar. It's your attitude, not your aptitude, that'll determine your altitude. That's good, isn't it? So said Zig Ziglar. Proverbs 23:7 says, "As he thinks in his heart, so is he." How do you think? What's your attitude? When our kids were little, if they did something grudgingly and with a bad spirit, we told them, "You haven't obeyed yet. You got to do it with the right attitude, or you haven't really obeyed." And God's the same way. Amen? If I do it with a lousy spirit, I'm not doing it with my heart. God looks on the the heart. Amen? So he's looking for a heart attitude that shows our love and our obedience to him. The Holy Spirit has gifted the body of Christ. He's gifted all of us. And we can serve cooperatively together under the headship of the Lord Jesus. It's his church. And in the coming weeks, we're going to be looking at our giftedness. We're going to be talking about how God's equipped us and how we can serve together more effectively, more fruitfully, more efficiently as we walk with the Lord in the new year. In verse 18 of John 21, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, that is John, which followed also leaning on his breast at supper, and said, "Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" And Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" And Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Don't worry about what God's doing in other people's lives. Bless God for the blessing of others. Amen? Don't be jealous of others' success. And don't rub it in when somebody messes up. Pray for them. Amen? Do the best you can to follow Jesus yourself. And have that kind of an attitude that will bless you and bless others. Our pride can block us from God's grace. It's what you learn after you know it all that really counts. A poet wrote, "A year untried before me lies. What it shall bring of strange surprise, of joy or grief I cannot tell, but God my Father knoweth well. I make no concern of mine, but leave it all with love divine. The sun may shed no light by day, no stars at night illumine my way. My soul shall still have no affright, since God is all my life and light. Though all the earthly lights grow dim, he walks in light, who walks with him. No ill can come, but he can cure. No word doth all of good ensure. He'll see me through the journey's length, for daily need gives daily strength." Let's bow for prayer together. Father, we thank you for the stories of the Word of God that recount the history of your dealing with God's people, with your children, with our brothers and sisters who've gone on before. We thank you for how you've dealt with Peter in a way that can encourage all of us to forget what's behind, to remember your blessings, and to dream in the future of how we can serve you and put it into play. Lord, I pray you'd help each of us today to have a time of reflection, a time of renewed obedience, deeper level of commitment. Help us to make that small change that might make the greatest difference in our lives of service and, most of all, of pleasing you in the new year as we approach it. And Lord, if there's one here who's not come into a relationship with Jesus, with their Father in heaven, by faith in Jesus, may they this day recognize that there's nothing they can do, but he's done it all. He died the just for the unjust to bring us to God. And I pray they'd come to Christ today, that they'd trust the Lord today, and face the new year in forgiveness and clean hearts that only you can give. Bless our time of decision, we pray, and we thank you as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together as we sing a...